I'm curious, do you have a really great BS detector? Maybe you're often skeptical of others. Are you really street smart? Would you say you're pretty self-assured? You often find yourself being the leader in the group. Maybe you even struggle to ask for help. Do you love a good challenge? Do you fight really hard for the causes you believe in? Do you have a great sense of humor? I bet you're a blast. You might have thought that these were all parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who we are so much as what's blocking who we are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast, the show for ambitious women ready to get off the hot mess express. I know you've got a lot going on. You work so hard. You're raising an incredible family. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I'm your host, Michelle Grosser. I'm a certified master life coach, attorney, wife, and mom. And years ago, I was right where you are. I was running a busy law practice while raising a family, and I was on the fast track to burnout. I thought I just needed to be more organized or have better routines, but it was learning how to heal and regulate my nervous system that expanded my capacity to gracefully hold more of this big, beautiful life. You too are worthy of an extraordinary life in and beyond motherhood. Learning to be a calm, anchoring presence in your home and at work is going to be your superpower. If you're here to do the inner work that brings a sense of calm amidst the chaos, I'm here to join you on that journey. Each time you press play, your growth continues. So let's get at it. You are listening to the Calm Mom Podcast. It's Michelle Grosser here. So good to spend some time with you today. I know that you guys love when I do episodes and come at you with all things productivity, time management, organization. And what if I told you that there was someone out there creating time management strategies and productivity solutions specifically for women, specifically for how our lives look as moms, for how our brains function, right? Just as women. And today's guest is going to tell us all about it. Her name is Megan Sumrell. She's a former corporate executive. And now as a business owner and a mom and a wife, she knows how hard it is to juggle like all the things while still maintaining our own sense of self, right? And our own purpose and our own priorities. She founded this company called The Pink Bee. And she basically took her 20 plus year career in systems and processes and applied it to all things time management, organization, and productivity. And she has a planner and a program called the Top Program and the Top Planner. And they teach her proprietary planning and time management system. So what we're going to talk about today is why seeking work-life balance, running after work-life balance, is just a mountain with no peak, right? Why it might be causing us more harm than good, and why we should be striving for work-life harmony instead. And then she's going to teach us how we can really minimize our distractions, and why if some of you are like me and you write like a daily task list every day, she's going to tell us why we shouldn't be doing that, and why making a list and just constantly be living by our list and checking things off is actually adding stress to our life. And she tells us what we should be doing instead. So enjoy this conversation with Megan Sumrell. Megan, welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. So grateful to have you with us today. Thanks for making the time.
It is 100% my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk about a lot of things today. Just before we hit record, you told me what your word of the year is, disruptive. And it got me really fired up because I love stuff like this. But before we jump in, just tell everyone a little bit about yourself and the work that you're doing these days.
Yeah. So my name is Megan. I live in North Carolina. I am the CEO and founder of The Pink Bee, which is a company that is all about time management, organization, and planning for women. Because we're different. Men and women are different. We need different tools. I spent over 20 years in the corporate America in the IT space where I really leaned into systems, processes, optimization. I have a bunch of really nerdy letters behind my name around all of that. Got married later in life, became a mom later in life. So I'm now the mom to a 13-year-old, which is a whole new world. I have a 13-year-old daughter. And that's kind of me in a short nutshell.
Wow. Okay. So it's interesting. I want to talk about this disruptor thing and I want to start there. I would love it if you tell us a little bit about what's behind that. And then I also find it interesting, and maybe you could talk on this too, that a lot of your professional experience relies in what we would think of as a highly masculine, energetic space, right?
Oh my gosh, I love that you said that.
Systems and like, right, all the checklists and the tool and all of this stuff. So talk to me a little bit about what it means to be a disruptor in that space.
Well, so it's interesting. I was a math major. And I like systems, numbers, all of that. Now, the whole planning and organization, all that did not come natural to me. That was something I very much spent a lot of time learning over 20 years. But being in the IT space, and especially my last seven-ish years in corporate America was in aviation. You can imagine there weren't a lot of women in the room. And I learned how to, I'm very comfortable in masculine energy in my work world. And it's been a real shift for me when I came into motherhood and now running this business to rediscover my feminine side again and bring that into business. I was sharing with someone just the other day, I was speaking at a software conference years ago, it was mostly men, and I was behind the stage and I was in black pants and a light pink blazer. And they asked if I had a different jacket because they said it would be distracting and they wouldn't take me seriously.
Wow.
So I spent a long time like almost ignoring the feminine side of stuff.
Yep.
And so tying this into disruptive, when I became a mom, I'd been using the same way to plan and manage my time for over 20 years. And when you look at the mainstream teaching out there, it's mostly taught by men and it's very geared towards work. Mm-hmm. And as a single woman in that space, those systems served me well for a very long time.
Sure.
But then I found myself juggling motherhood, work. I was wanting to start my own business and I just kept feeling like I was hitting a brick wall. I'm like, it's not working. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. And I had this pivotal day when a woman at the park just innocently asked me as I was pushing my daughter on the swings, "What do you do for fun?"
Mm.
And I paused because like, I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And that was about 10 years ago. And I'm so grateful to this woman for asking me that because it made me take a step back and realize like, I felt like I'd lost myself. So thankfully I was like, Megan, this is what you do for a living. Like, why don't you take yourself on as a client and say, how do we optimize everything I've got going on, like my life? So I threw away everything that I'd been using to plan and manage my time and set out on a journey to find a different way to do it. And one of the first steps I had to look at was, why isn't this working for me anymore? Right. And there's a couple big things that have really shifted, especially for women, especially for moms. One is the introduction of technology, right? I mean, we are accessible all the time and information is coming at us all the time. And a lot of the traditional systems don't really acknowledge that. Second is just the increased roles and responsibilities for women and mothers today, right? It looks very different than it did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And then third, and the most important, I feel, is these traditional mainstream planning and management systems are not acknowledging all the mental stuff. And, you know, I think the term a lot of people are using right now is the emotional load of motherhood. And, you know, when my husband goes about planning his week, in the back of his mind, he's not thinking, it's flu season. What if she, you know, what if our daughter wakes up sick? How am I going to handle that? Right. I'm thinking about all of that. You know, I am the first phone call that is made if there's an issue as a parent. And so that's where I feel the planning and productivity community as a whole is really failing women and moms today. And so that kind of ties into my whole idea of being disruptive. I've alluded to it over the last several years. And finally this year, I was like, it's time to just come out and say it. It's not a bad thing. Those systems work great, but just oftentimes not for moms. And so let's stop trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Oh my goodness. I love this so much. And there's a part of me, well, I relate a lot in so many different ways as I'm sitting here in a pink blazer. I went to law school, and I just remember my first experience walking into a courtroom in downtown Miami. And I was 25 years old, probably. And walking into this big courtroom for motion calendar and seeing this bald judge on the stand, and then just looking in a sea of bald men, like 50 or 60 bald men, and walking into that room and feeling very much like I was going to have to force and push and all of these different things that we think of to be able to be taken seriously in that space, right? I think a lot of us that are high achievers really can resonate with why that leads us to burnout or being exhausted all the time or struggling with work-life balance, because there's no balance there with the way in which we were wired to operate.
Right.
So, 100%. So I love that. And I wonder too, how many women listening who feel like me as you're describing this, and there's almost a light bulb going off and it's like, is that why I have this whole stack of planners here, but I still can't seem to find a system that works for me?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things there. So the planner graveyard, most women I know have it, right? First, and I have built and I sell planners. So the fact I'm saying this is important for people to hear. A planner is never going to solve your problems, period. And any planner that says by the sheer act of owning this planner, you're going to be more organized, setting yourself up for failure, 100%. It is the underlying systems and processes that you have to learn on then how to leverage a planner. And there's good planners, there's bad planners out there. So if you have a planner graveyard, chances are it's just simply because you haven't been taught a system and a process to plan and manage everything that's competing for your time that actually accounts for the hidden stuff, right? The things that don't show up on a traditional to-do list. And so this is why, I mean, I could talk for hours on what makes a good planner, bad planner, all of that, but I'll be the first to tell you a planner isn't going to fix it.
Yeah. What I hear in that is kind of like when we think that when the calendar flips to January 1st, we're going to have all these New Year's resolutions. And it's like, wait, if you're still doing the same things you were doing yesterday, we're not going to all of a sudden have, right? It's kind of the same thing. Doesn't matter the planner so much. If you still have the same systems that are not functional, you're going to run into the same issues.
Yes.
So where do we start?
So the very first thing we need to do is to break up with, and people are going to be like, that's it, I'm done. But hear me out on this. We need to break up with our obsession with a daily to-do list. Now, lists are great. They serve a purpose. But if we are doing, and unfortunately, this is what a lot of time management systems teach. Wake up, do your brain dump, right? Get everything out onto a piece of paper. For some reason, we've landed on the three. Identify your top three priorities for the day. I've done a lot of research on this. There's no science behind three. And then we're magically supposed to just focus on those first. And then we can do everything else.
Yeah.
Now, the intent behind this is good. Like, get everything out of your head. It clears your, like, clears you up for the day, right? But what's happening from that list, there's a couple key things that are keeping us in overwhelm very pragmatically. One is, does that list really take into account the realities of what you have going on that day? And are you ever looking at how much time is it going to take me to do this? And is this even doable?
Right.
Of course not, because if we start our day going, what do I need to do today? there's actual brain science, like you're starting to step into that fight or flight mode. You're starting to feel anxious. So now we start to think irrationally.
That's right.
And what happens to our brain in that space is it's wired to make us feel good. So it's like, give me a dopamine hit right now. Put something on the list that's low hanging fruit that I can do in the next 5 minutes and check it off. And now I feel better. Mm-hmm. So that daily process keeps us very reactive and just in time living, right? And then chances are we're never going to be able to finish it anyway. So we go to bed feeling guilty, and then we wake up the next day copying over half of yesterday's list and then adding a whole bunch more to today.
Yeah. And it's like, I have days where I feel like I did so much today. And then I look at the end of the day, I'm like, but I didn't even get anything done.
Yeah. Right. And there's actual planning systems that teach this, like copy over what you didn't do. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I did that for years. I'm like, I wonder how many hundreds of hours of my life I wasted rewriting the same thing across like 10 different or 12 different lists. Right. The second reason why this is not serving us well is think about like when you were talking about January, those long term, like, okay, I'm going to do, these are my big longer term goals, dreams, and desires.
Yeah.
If you wake up on a given day, you're like, hey, what do I need to get done today? But maybe in the back of your mind, you have this idea, like you want to write a book.
Mm.
Well, in that moment of the day, you're looking at everything going on. Okay. Well, obviously I can't start on that today. Right. Mm. And then tomorrow, obviously I can't start on that tomorrow. Because when we stay in this just-in-time list-making mode, we never see, we can't visualize the space to actually have that kind of time. Mm-hmm. And then finally, particularly as moms, we have a lot of uncertainty in our life, right? Yeah. Who knows? I mean, yesterday, the drive home, mom, I've got to do a diorama. Can we go to the craft store? I'm like, wasn't planning on that one today. So if we don't have a longer-term planning system where we start to learn how much of my time every week is taken by things I have no idea are coming but have to be handled? Yeah. And how do I create a plan that allows me to absorb those and move things around as I go? Then all that happens again is just the never-ending to-do list grows and grows and grows. And we can't understand. We feel bad. I'm not good at this. I'm not productive. So the biggest shift where I start everyone is learning how to stop this daily list making mode and learn how to create a weekly plan. And this weekly plan actually includes all the things in our lives that are competing for our time. It supports the oh my gosh, I didn't knows that often come at us through work, through family or whatever. And it prioritizes time for ourselves so that we're never that person at the park that can't answer the question, what do you do for fun?
Oh, that's great. So is this a once a week thing where you sit down and have a weekly planning? Okay.
And it's, I start off with a basic 5-step process. And then once we master that, we learn the 10-step process. Now you're probably thinking, I'm so overwhelmed. How the heck can I do this? Right. It takes 15 minutes or less once you have all the systems that support it set up. So I'm at a stage of life right now. I like to do mine on Sunday morning. So it's kind of the house is kind of quiet. I sit down, I get my plan for the week. It allows me to like that evening kind of communicate with the family what's going on for the next week. And now I get to end each day looking at my plan, reminding myself, here's what's going on, right? Reminding my brain, you got this, Megan. And then I start each day instead of, okay, what do I need to do? I look at my plan and I'm like, oh, here's what I mapped out as what is important for this day. Yeah. And it means some days, none of those big important things are getting done because sometimes life, like yesterday was a day where it was like all over the place, kind of a pinball-y day. But it was planned for that. So I don't feel guilty for the things that weren't getting done because my plan shows me when I'm getting those done for this week.
Hear me out for a second. Are you the strong, silent type? Do you ever feel tired and maybe you struggle to take action? Or I bet you have all of these great thoughts and these ideas and opinions, but maybe you have a hard time expressing yourself. Are you really down to earth? You hold everything all together. Maybe people have even told you that they admire how strong you are, but on the inside, life and motherhood actually feel pretty hard. You might have thought that all of these things are just parts of your personality, but they're actually coping mechanisms that you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially in motherhood. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became habits and then they became patterns. And now that we're adults, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram, but rather they describe our safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't actually describe who we are, but what is blocking who we actually are. The good news is that once you take the quiz, learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz.
So I hear in that there's also probably some opportunity to get better at discerning what we actually need to do or doing less better or prioritizing
well. And what helps with that? This is why this weekly plan works so well. Like, let's say you were going shopping. If you looked at your bank account and you saw, I've got $500 in there, you'd be like, woohoo. But, and this is what most of us are doing. We look at our calendar, which traditionally only shows appointments, usually with other people. So we might see, oh my gosh, look at all this free time that I've got this week. I'm going to get everything done. But if we have a plan that is showing us the reality of what time for our week is already, you know, budgeted or consumed for things, similar to if you were to look at your bank account and see $500, but then you saw, hey, I've got 5 bills that are going to get paid this week, so I really only have $200, you're going to shop very differently. You're going to make different choices. Yeah. So doing a weekly plan in a way that actually shows us by the end of it, here's really the time you have available, that makes the ability for us to make decisions about where we're going to spend our time, what we say yes to, what we say no to, so much easier, because we can see, you know, on some weeks, wow, this is a week that's pretty full just by my normal life. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is not the week for me to think I'm going to bring on anything else or start anything new. And so it keeps us from getting overbooked, overscheduled, and constantly feeling like we're never catching up.
Right. It allows us or invites us to set boundaries around that, right?
And it makes it so much easier to say no.
Wow. I love that. Something I want to hear from you on that I think a lot of women think is a positive attribute maybe, or something that they wear as a badge of honor, is like, I'm really good at multitasking. Yes. And I think as moms, we think we are good at multitasking, or we think we can get a lot done with multitasking. But as someone who's an expert in this stuff, talk to us a little bit about multitasking, whether it is actually as productive as we think, and then how maybe it fits or doesn't fit into your systems.
Yeah. And I think it's important to understand people confuse multitasking to mean different things. So I want to first explain my definition of multitasking versus context switching.
Okay.
So multitasking to me is truly doing 2 tasks simultaneously. And I believe there is a time and a place for multitasking, but only if your brain is in one context or role. So for example, I can be folding laundry and listening to an Audible or a book, like my brain can fold clothes on autopilot and I'm only focused on listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
That's really good and smart multitasking. Mm-hmm. But when we are trying to ask our brain to be in 2 different contexts or wearing 2 different hats at the same time, that's the context switching, or trying to wear, you know, multi-context, that's where the wheels fall off. So you're, you know, cooking dinner while trying to help a kid with homework while trying to answer an email all at the same time. Where maybe you're in mom mode, you're in personal mode, you're in work mode. That is where, again, that all that does is increase anxiety and stress. And because this daily taskless mode keeps us feeling that way all day long, we think, okay, well, if I could just do all 3 of these at once, that will be so much better. But in reality, none of them are done well. And they probably took longer to do than if you had just not worked that way. So my goal with teaching people how to plan the right way is to minimize the amount of context switching you're doing all day long.
Yes. Okay. So it's distracting. Our brain's not wired to efficiently switch between context. Obviously our phone, but can you talk to us a little bit about other distractions that you help coach women around, especially moms, I think, are things that people may not realize are actually quite distracting?
Yeah. I mean, phone number one, for sure. I always start there, but I think a lot of people realize that and know that there are things that they can put in place. And I do want to talk to email, because email is its own beast outside of phone. Email is a great tool. I love it as well. But most people are checking it way too often. And unless you are saving lives over email, which I doubt many people are, you do not need to be in and out of your email all day long. So one of the first things we learn how to do is, okay, let's set how many times a day do I really need to check it? And then how do I learn how to process that the right way? Because if we are constantly responding to emails or any form of request for information, again, we're all over the map. So right now, like I process my email 3 times a day. That's it. Okay. And then I'm done. And no one's died from it yet. So, you know, we're doing great. And in the summer, it's only 2 times a day. So, you know, that's a huge area for distraction. Now, obviously our kids are a huge distraction and sometimes our significant others as well. So one of the things that I established early on, because I work from home, and I worked from home when I was in corporate as well, we were a company spread out all over the world actually, is to set up some kind of a visual cue for the people that you live with on when it's okay to come in and interrupt and when it's not.
I love that.
And so when my daughter was really young, I had her create the sign for the back of my chair. Cause at that point I was working in like what should have been a dining room. There was no doors or anything. So she, you know, full bedazzled the heck out of a piece of construction paper. And when that was hanging over the back of my chair, because if people walked into the room, they would just see my back. That was the visual cue for them. This is not a time to interrupt mom or Megan. Mm-hmm. Now, the key to that is you can't have it hanging up all day long, right? As much as we want to. But now that I've been, we've kind of done some remodeling in the home, I have doors that close for where I work. So if the doors are closed, you may not interrupt. If the doors are open, you may come in. And so finding ways to, and you can play games with it, even with your family, but sitting down, and it was kind of a family thing. Okay, guys, how do we solve this problem? You know, I have to keep redoing stuff because you're coming in. But I think bringing your kids into it so that they understand what's happening can, granted, it didn't happen overnight. There was some training there, but it made a huge difference. And sometimes just giving me that 30 minutes that I needed of non-interrupted time.
Yeah, I love that. And then being consistent and enforcing it, right? Like you said, not having it up all the time.
Yeah. And if it'd be back there and I'd see someone come in, I could just reach my hand around and like tap the back of my chair, like reminder, look, you know, so,
I love that. Okay. So for the mom who's listening, who's like, okay, I want to give this a shot. I want to, because I know my audience, whenever I talk about this, they love it. Talk a little bit about work-life balance, because what I'm hearing is that in your systems, we can actually make space for all the different areas in our life that we have to show up.
So I do not like the term work-life balance. and the reason why is because the term balance by itself implies equality,
right?
Meaning every part of your life is getting equal attention and focus on the regular. And all that does is keep us perpetually overwhelmed, right? Well, if I spent 2 hours in this, then I better go spend 2 hours on that. So instead, I like the term work-life harmony, where it kind of think of it like if you see an orchestra playing. I was a music minor in college. If you look at all the people on the stage, everybody's not getting equal play time or that, right? Sometimes certain instruments are playing, others aren't. Someone might have a solo, etc. But at the end, they create something that is beautiful and harmonious, but nothing's balanced with that orchestra. So if we can reframe thinking about how we're going to plan and manage our time to create harmony in our lives, that gives us the freedom to say, hey, this is a week where these things aren't going to be a priority, or this is a week where I get to double down on that, or this is a day where this is what my focus is going to be. And I can let go of all of the other things. Cause I think the quest for balance continues to promote this idea that there's a perfect way of doing it all.
That's
and
right.
There isn't. You can't do it all. There is no perfect way of doing it. So how about we all get to decide what allows us to go to bed feeling like, hey, I did okay today, and waking up going, I've got a plan for the day, but I know how to pivot if I need to. Like that is a sustainable, enjoyable way to continue, you know, to operate.
Yes. And I feel like that's full circle from where we started, because being stuck in these systems and like, it must be this way and it's super rigid. And if, you know, I go off course and I've just gone off the rails for the whole day, that's a very masculine energy. But
it
to
is.
Allow it to tap into a feminine, more like flow, I can pivot, I can adjust, I can adapt, whatever. That's more sustainable, right? And that's, I'm assuming, where your system is grounded.
100%. And you know, people will look at me and they assume, they're like, oh my gosh, you must work all day, this and that. I'm like, no, I run this business in 20 to 25 hours a week, max. I pretty much take the summers off. I kind of work on the school calendar since I'm still a mom. But what I do is I say no to a lot of things, and then I can lean into the things that make me feel productive. And my definition of productivity that I always encourage everyone to embrace is getting the most important things done in a stress-free way.
Mm.
And so if I'm getting the most important things done in a stress-free way, it looks and feels very different than I won the who checked the most things off their list today race.
Right. The pseudo productivity.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. So good. Okay. So tell everyone where they can find the planner, where they can learn more about what you teach specifically for moms and women, because it's so tailored to the people listening.
Yeah. If this is I call it a feminine planning system. It is specifically about women. We talk about the things that women, you know, that were the realities of our life.
Yeah.
So a great place that I encourage people to go check out, I actually have an app out in the App Store and Google Play that's called the Pink Bee. There's some free stuff in there, but to unlock everything in it right now, I think it's $4.99 US. But I mean, that's a one time. It's not a subscription or anything. But I give you some introductions to weekly planning. I actually teach you a two-step weekly planning process in there, along with a bunch of other courses introducing you to the four levels of planning. It kind of gives you some good quick wins. I like to say it's like having your own little time management expert in your pocket. And then I'm out on all the socials at Megan Sumrall as well. So I do free trainings on both Facebook and Instagram every single week in about 15 minutes or less on something tangible that you can go and implement as well.
Man, that's awesome. I love it. I'm going to check out the app for sure. Sounds great. Thank you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks
for being a disruptor and for making space for us women to manage in a healthy and sustainable way all the different things that we want to do every day. So,
and I think that it's, you know, we can all as women realize we can be productive in a super feminine way.
Yeah.
And that was something that I wished I'd learned earlier in life. Yeah. But I think that feminine productivity can and should look very different than masculine productivity.
Come on. I love it. Thank you.
If you love Mommy's Podcast, leave a review.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would be so awesome if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. And if you have just a few more seconds to leave a quick review, they really help to get this podcast out to other moms like you. I read every last review, and trust me, when it's late at night or early in the morning before my kids get up and I'm working on bringing you all of this content, your reviews are what keep me going. Leaving a review is truly the best way you can thank me. And of course, DM me on Instagram. I love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode. Head over to the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at michellegrosser.com, where you'll find free resources and more ways to connect with me. If you love the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.